The Good News Hour greets you once again. Your speaker is Evangelist Johnny Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and then to remind you that this program is wholly dedicated to the Word of God. And if we could do one thing above everything else in bringing our messages to you, it would be to stir up an interest on the part of the people everywhere to study the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and I'm sure you would not long remain in darkness as to your soul and its relationship to God and to eternity. You see, the family Bible altar has very largely been lost in the American home, and would to God there could be a return to Bible reading, Bible study in the home with the children. And you see, today we're living in a time unparalleled in human history when lawlessness abounds on every hand, and we believe it is attributable to the fact that few are reading and studying the Word of God. And consequently, there is no consciousness of guilt and no consciousness of sin. Now, I'm going to speak on a most important subject. That is to say, we're going to begin this subject. It's found in the book of Job. And by some, Job has been regarded and considered to be the oldest book in the Bible. And it possibly could be. I'm not sure. But at any rate, that in no sense alters the message that we're going to seek to bring to you from it, or to call your attention to two very vital questions. That's in Job chapter 25 and verse 4. How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? For you see, after all, the prophet Isaiah tells us in his 64th chapter in the 6th verse that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, so that our condition before God is one that requires cleansing, and yes, we stand in need of what he speaks of here as justification. Now, just one further thought. In the book of Job, Job was asked by God some 83 questions, and he was unable to answer even so much as one of them. But now here is a question that's asked, and we're glad to be able to tell you that we certainly, most certainly, can supply the answer from God's precious and God's holy word. How can a man be justified with God? Now, let me state that there's a vast difference between pardon and justification. For instance, a criminal could be pardoned, but you could not justify a criminal. And so when our God reaches, when our God saves a soul, when he fits that man or woman, that boy or girl for his holy presence, he is totally justified and seen according to God's reckoning and under the holy eye of God as though he had never sinned at all. Just imagine that. Now then, we're going to seek the answer to this question, but first of all, we're going to see just how men have attempted to answer this question, and to answer it in a certainly in a wrong way. And after all, you know, there is one way of justification and one only way. The common thought and the popular thought is that I could justify myself before God if I attempt to keep the fragments of the law of God, that is to say, the moral law of the Ten Commandments. Now, after all, the Ten Commandments presents to us the full measure of man's responsibility to God. The first four commandments are Godward, that is to say, our responsibility to God, and the last six, our responsibility to man, so that in all, there are ten, and let me stress it once again, the full measure of our responsibility to God is presented to us in the Ten Commandments. But you know, there never lived a man, there never lived a person who was able to keep that holy law in detail. That is to say, none but our blessed Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Pardon me. When our Savior was here up on earth, he said on one occasion, I have given you the law, and none of you keepeth it, so that they had to come under the charge that they were guilty before God. Now, if you turn we're going to see, first of all, how a man cannot be justified. And then we're going to see how a man, according to God, can be justified. Now, one of the popular ways, as we have suggested, is by attempting to keep the fragments of a broken law, or at least to do the best we can to keep them, and think that God will make up for the balance. Oh, that's so totally wrong. Would you listen to this? If you were to turn, for instance, to the Epistle of James, and in the second chapter, and verse 10, you would read a verse like this. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, now note carefully, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Think of it. And who has not broken those commandments? One or another. You say, well, I've never committed what you would call gross crimes. Well, perhaps you haven't. But the Word of God says, thou shalt not covet, and likely you have done that. In other words, God says, I have given you the law, and none of you keepeth it. Now then, let's proceed just a little further to see how one cannot be justified, and then we're going to supply the answer from the Word of God just as to how men and women are justified. Now, in the third chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, if you were to begin at about verse 9 and read through to verses 23, and especially through the first 9 verses, that would be verses 9 through verses 18, we have a divine portrait of ourselves. In other words, it is not external, it is internal. In other words, as God sees us, as God sees the human heart, as he sees your heart, and as he sees my heart. And then, of course, he sums it up by saying, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let's proceed just a little further as to how a man cannot be justified with God. Look, will you, at the third of Romans, and we shall read together verse 19 that says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. But listen to this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, or by the doing of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law was never given to justify a sinner. The law is just like a mirror. Now, if you wanted to see if you had soil on your face, you'd perhaps go to the mirror, but you wouldn't attempt to wash your face with the mirror, would you? You'd have to go elsewhere for cleansing. And so if you want to see just exactly how you appear under the holy eye of a righteous and a sin-hating God, I tell you what to do. You measure up to the perfect law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and you would have to conclude, well, I have sinned. God is right. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the law was not given then, as we have suggested and pointed out. It was not given to be a savior. It was not given to be a help, to help save us. It was given for the purpose of revealing to us just exactly how we appear in the eyes of a sin-hating, thrice holy, and a righteous God. Now look further. In the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, you would read an amazing statement that goes like this in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now what could not the law do? Well, I'll tell you what. The law demands, but it provides nothing that would enable me to meet the claims of a holy God. It demands righteousness, but it cannot supply it for me. Now, if I am to be fitted for God's presence, it has to come from another source, as we hope to see just a little bit later on. Now, I should like to have you turn, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. And the Galatians had been swept in with this error that the law was necessary to justify them and to give them a standing in the presence of God. And so, in minute detail, Paul, our apostle, meets it head on. and it's settled there once and for all. And so he tells us, among other things, he said, if there had been a law given which could have given righteousness or life, he says, verily righteousness would have been by the law. And I hope you make a notation of that passage. That's the third chapter of Galatians and verse 21, which says, God forbid, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now we're going to see in this same wonderful chapter just exactly what the law did. If you were to turn, for instance, to chapter 3, Galatians 3 and verse 10, it says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth in all not in, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man, now get this, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Oh, how plain and how simple and how precious and yet how wonderful too. Cursed is everyone, he says. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I would hate to conclude even this first message by pointing out what cannot justify or fit a sinner for the presence of God without bringing to you at least one verse that tells us a little bit more, and then with this we'll have to close. But in chapter 3 and verse 13 it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. And oh, do we not thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ became a curse. He bore the curse that he might set us free. And now in the will of the Lord, we're going to show you in our next broadcast just exactly how. We've been seeing how a man cannot be justified. Now we're going to see from the Word of God how a sinner can be justified and cleared before God. God grant it for his name's sake. Amen.